Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day and for the changing of the showbread, as you promise each week. Thank you for giving us an understanding of your word and blessing us with opportunities to share our faith. Thank you for helping our faith grow, too, and cleansing us from all unrighteousness as we confess and repent and you forgive. Thank you also for blessing us with the latter rain so we can do the work that you call us to do. And thank you for keeping that hedge of angels about us as we do it. And thank you for blessing those that help us do the work, too, keeping a hedge of angels around them as well. And even those that come against us, Father, we lift them up to you. We pray you forgive them and bless them with eyes that see. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Okay. I see Sisters by the Sea forgot to check their emails. I sent you guys a password because you asked for one. And if you need a password, anybody, and the chat room works, fine for you. Just send me an email. Sometime within the week, I'll send you a password. So, but yeah, when you get a chance, just check your emails. And then you get it. I kind of had, yeah, I changed the username because it was too long what you wanted to put in there. It was just way too long. And you know, I just did the first names and stuff. But you got to put the dash and dash, you know, because it fits that way. I can't put ampersands. I can't put, you know, blanks. And we, I didn't know if you wanted Sisters by, I didn't even know that. Well, we usually do first names, but right, maybe I could change it. I don't know. I think everybody's kind of used to that. First names only. that's what we're leaning towards, everybody here. That way no one knows anybody's last names, and we kind of like want to protect everyone, you know. So, something to think about. Okay. All right, question 28 is where we left off. For those of you listening on the radio or on the phone, have a blessings to you too. If you've got these last day events, these last days. No, it's just these last days. It's a study that we have permission from the preacher that put the books together years ago. You got to get permission from him, then he allows you to put it on your website. And we can. Well, we don't have copies anymore, but you can more or less just download them off the site, print them out, and follow along. We're in lesson 7, question 28. All right, and the question is, then what positive action are we to take? And, of course, this is just a spillover of question 27 where it says, how may we obtain the transforming gift of God's righteousness? And Matthew 7:7 took care of all that. But now it's this one says, then what positive action are we to take? And Romans 6:13 says, thank you again, Brother Gordon, that says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Which reminds me, I forgot to make a phone call. There's one preacher on the West Coast, or teacher. He calls once in a while and asks for definitions on Scripture. And he had, this kind of reminds me of that because it says that are alive from the dead, because a lot of people are having a hard time understanding that it is to every man to die once. And I says, well, what about the Gideon band? They don't die. Well, that's a contradiction of Scripture. He says, nope. I haven't gotten a chance to call him yet, but I'm more or less just going to tell him the Gideon band, more than anybody on the planet, do die perfectly. in the flesh. I mean, they die to the point where they don't even have to have a physical death. They die of self perfectly to the point, you know, with Christ our righteousness, of course, it's not us or anything like that. But anyway, in regards to Romans 6:13 here, one thing I've noticed in my Christian walk is when I do my best to ignore Satan and seek what pleases my Father, his love for me grows more and more. And yes, you can see his love growing upon you in how his word opens up. Prayers are answered, strength is given to you during trials, and the peace that passes all understanding is upon you. We must, and I do stress the term must, have a submissive spirit in order to experience the heavenly hugs. That means we need to be willing to be instructed and to be led by him even when it seems difficult to us. You know, all too often Christians are looking for ways to please the Lord, but when the opportunity finally presents itself, they shrink back because they cannot sacrifice a certain bad habit or that the Holy Spirit is trying to help them see as dangerous, or even in, especially when you're a babe in Christ. I remember when I first discovered, when I was, I think I was a Christian 10 years, maybe? No, not even 10 years, because I know I quit smoking a year before my youngest was born. So that's 19 years ago, and I've been keeping Sabbath about 17 years. I remember some years before that, the Lord revealing to me smoking was, you know, I'm defiling the temple. On top of that, I'm slowly committing suicide, and it's dangerous, and I shouldn't do it. And as hard as it was, I was fighting to try and quit, and the Lord saw that I was putting forth a real effort. And then all of a sudden, one day, I got that still small voice for the second time, or third time, I think it was, in my life. And I became a non-smoker instantly. But the thing is, this doesn't just apply to that. I mean, it could be, you know, okay, fine, you find out the truth about the law, you're keeping Sabbath, and all of a sudden, you realize you can't work on Saturdays. And you can't work on Fridays either after sundown. And so now, here's your test. Are you going to shrink back? So that's the thing. But if you claim Christ Jesus as Lord, but cannot put things down you know are wrong to do, then you don't have that submissive spirit that the scripture is talking about here, and he cannot trust you to do his will for him in the coming days. Because he's testing all of us right now. The latter rain's already sprinkling. It's falling. It's actually falling pretty heavy in some areas. And he's looking for people he can use. And this is another reason to see the shaking in the church. Certain members are leaving because they won't stand in unity with the truth. And that's not our doing. We follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And this is why some of the Adventists are leaving the church in droves. Because they finally come to a realization, as Revelation 18 says some of them will, or Matthew 20 says, or Revelation 12:17 says. They're finally going to come to the truth and understand that they got to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And, of course, that's in Revelation as well. And they leave. But even though the SDA church goes out and says, well, if you leave the church, you're shaken out. It's, no, it's the other way around. You left Christ. You're shaken out. Because the real church of Christ is those who follow the Lamb. And our God has every right to ask us to help him present his love and truth, as well as his present truth, to the world. After all, he's blessed us all with life and the capabilities to do for him what he needs to get done. And as we learned in the parable of the talents, we are responsible for the abilities which God has given us. If we make the most of our privileges, he will further fit us for a position of usefulness and duty. This is what I saw him do in my life for the past 30 years. You may be starting out with one talent in your work for him, and as you use it wisely, he grants you more and more talents and duties pertaining to those talents. And it will happen, guaranteed. Our Lord will make us use each, he'll actually make good use of each and every one of his children, but only when they surrender to him. He has a place and a work for each and every one of us. Yes, many, especially you young Christians, think that it's not possible that God can use them. But as I look at, back at my past and how I was useless, as they come, and the Lord blessed me as I showed him I would be obedient to the call, even if it meant sweeping floors in a church. I recall when I was in secular work that I quit a job and caused my family to suffer because I wouldn't stoop to do certain tasks. Literally. I mean, I had this real nice job I just got, and then and the boss, and I wanted to hang with the boss, but he had some other guy that was hanging, he was hanging with. And he was, like, training him in all these neat things. You know, he was turning him into a good worker in the field of maintenance. And I always liked the field of maintenance because before I started doing the computer stuff and like that. But the thing is, it's like you can – the job is never boring. One day you're fixing a sink. The next day you're wiring electrical system, or one day you're working on air conditioning or whatever. I mean, you always have all these different things to do. And here he tells me to go clean a toilet. And I quit. But after becoming a Christian, it was work like this that I did for the church pastor and a prison minister many years ago. Yes, I couldn't see how I was doing God's work, but he later revealed to me that it was more about him watching to see if I would be obedient or not, no matter how degrading or humbling or annoying the job task was. And as I proved I would be obedient, the tasks he gave and asked me to do became more and more fulfilling, and now I am blessed in ways I just cannot explain adequately. It's just amazing to me what life with him is like now. And I can't wait to get up in the morning to do as he asks each and every day. And even, and this was like this when I was doing a 9-to-5 job. I've only been in the ministry full time since 2002. You know, for 17 years I did the work of the Lord and worked regular jobs, and I still couldn't wait to get up in the morning because, you know, there's things that he had me doing. And yes, you may be asked to do your little work to glorify God, but let me ask you this. Have you ever followed the path of a creek that turned into a stream, that poured into a river, that fed the ocean on a map? We are the body of Christ. In his body are everything from toes to a head, which is Christ the Lord, according to Ephesians 5:23 and 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members are of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ." You know, when you get into this walk with Christ, you literally start out a toe. Now, who knows, one day you may become a head. But I never knew, you know, from one day to the next where I was headed. I just knew that I was following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. I mean, even in nature, we see that everything has its appointed work, and not a single one complains about their given task. I mean, could you imagine what this world would be like if the bee were to quit his given task because, oh, man, is this mundane or what? Yeah, okay, flying. Fine, flowers are pretty and all, but hopping day to day to these flowers is just annoying. I mean, we'd be hard-pressed to find food to eat. In spiritual things, each and every man, woman, and child and has his or own unique task that only they can do to perfection in their own circle of friends. For example, some of your talents that some of you have, others cannot grasp how you do them, and vice versa. I mean, some of us can do things that others just are in awe of how you can do this. So in short, our Lord and Savior has a right to ask you for your service. So please yield to him with all that you have been given in life. I mean, be submissive, as he says here in Romans 6:13. So, question 29. Oh, Romans 6. Oh, yeah, I think I already shared Romans 6, 19, too. Because the study goes on and it mentions it. It says, For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. And it's Romans 6, 19. So, before we met Christ and we were in the world, we did all that the world wanted us to do, and we had fun doing what we thought. And now that we've met Christ, why would we all of a sudden kick back? You know? Anyway, question number 29. What will our testimony then be? And Psalm 116, verse 16 says, "O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds." I mean, that's absolutely beautiful. Do you recall when Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When we make that decision to be his servant, and not just in lip service, as Jesus said, some are, when he said in Matthew 15:8 that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I mean, that's Christianity today, the majority of Christianity today. That's the way it is. It's just lip service. They say they're Christians, or like Isaiah 4:1 said. You know, they're doing it to take away their shame. So then, in other words, when we get to this point, we see people that are like this. Or even if we have a tendency to be tempted in that area, we will know exactly what it means when David said that the Lord had loosed him from his bonds. I mean, truth is, most already understand. Because Jesus also said in Matthew 11:34, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yes, we will have tribulation and we're going to have trials while we're still sitting on this sin-filled orb of a planet. But when we are servants to the Lord in every aspect of life, then those trials and tribulations will not be overwhelming to us as it is to those that have no trust in Christ. We won't have that fear that is generated in the hearts of the wicked or the lost, because we know Christ is by our side. I mean, this is especially a blessing to those doing the work. All too often, we are battered with attacks of every sort to try and slow the work. But if you notice, it never slows or stops our forward motion in the Lord. Yes, we may on occasion do less work on any given day because the trials that force us to focus in one area or another to help a soul in need or repair a situation that has come up on us. But all the while we do this, we grow closer to Christ, knowing he allowed it so as to better our walk, because he's absolutely in control of everything. We were talking about this last night. If you just get down into the basic structure of DNA, just one part of the strand, you see how overwhelmingly powerful this God is that we worship. Or look at the structure of one cell with trillions of beings in it. I can't explain any other way to say beings. I mean, it looks like a world. When they zoom in on these cells, one single cell has literally, I think it was upwards of a trillion, these little things running around, like an inner universe. And yet the human body has trillions of these cells in their body. And that's just humans, you know, 7 billion humans on this planet. I'm not talking, even mentioning dogs or birds or fish or bumblebees. I mean, these cells are everywhere. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is what causes us to grow closer to Christ. And it betters our walk when we see trials and tribulations coming upon us, because he's in control when we see it, when we realize creation and how he's involved with it on a regular basis. He truly has loosed us from that which binds us to this world. We truly don't look to the world as we used to. We are not only his servants, we are simply visitors of this planet. After all, he is coming soon to take us to his kingdom, and it is there we will reside. In this study, we truly learned that Jesus Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. With this knowledge, we need to make that final decision to take our stand on his side. We should never be ashamed to acknowledge him as their leader. God's people should never be ashamed to acknowledge him as their leader, our counselor, or our guide. When loved ones ask us to break Sabbath, to go to a wedding, or other gatherings, we must be quick to proclaim him Lord and ourselves his servants. If not, we failed that test. When friends ask us to do things we know are wrong, we must not be ashamed to proclaim him Lord. We were talking about this too last night as well. I think it was one of you brothers in here sent me an email, and I think it was Kevin. Yeah, he was talking about it last night because he shared with the praises. And it struck me because I went through the same thing, and many of you have gone through this. I know this for a fact. All Christians go through this, but a lot of people don't catch what's happening here. And for example, and I'll just cover it short and quickly because of time, but let's say you walk into a room and your siblings are there and your parents are there and your cousins and your friends, okay? Everybody in your life is in this room. You walk into this room and you declare unto them that you have decided to quit smoking, drinking, and swearing or whatever. You just decided to get rid of bad habits, okay? And you said, I decided to quit smoking and drinking or eating meat, for that matter, because I found it's not good for me and I want to be healthy. So everybody in the room is going to come up to you and slap you on the back and say, well done, well done, good job. Hey, good to hear. Boy, I wish I had your stamina. I wish I had, they'll come up and applaud you. Well, let's turn around and go into that same room again with the same declaration, but just change one thing. You walk into the room and you tell them, I have decided to quit smoking, and I have decided to quit drinking, and I decided to quit eating meat because I have now found Christ Jesus as Lord, and he says, if I do these things, it will harm me spiritually. Now, everybody in the room calls you a nut, an insane idiot, a Jesus freak, a fanatic, a legalist. What's the difference? Christ is always the difference with this world. So, truth is, it's tests like these that the Lord watches very closely to see if we truly are his servants. If he can't trust you to stand firm for him on small things like this, then he's not going to be able to trust you for the future servitudes he needs you to do, especially as this letter rain's falling. He will then leave your side and seek out someone that is not lukewarm in their faith. You know, brothers and sisters, this is the time of the shaking. We have overwhelming evidence of this. People that used to be part of our number are no longer here because they are not in unity with the truth as we know it. The end of, and this has been going on for years. It's nothing new. You know, the end of all things is banging extremely loud at the door right now. Jesus is right now sending his spirit all across this world, seeking who will be used by him to glorify him before the billions of lost souls. Do you want to be used of God in this last work of the Lord, or will you be used by Satan, as prophecy says most will be? I mean, do you recall when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? After he healed them, he told them to go and show themselves to the priest so as to be cleansed socially as well. Well, on their way to those priests, their healing came upon them. But only one out of the 10 returned to give Jesus praise and glory for what he did for them. The others went their way and simply forgot all about he who had made them whole. How many of us do this very same thing today? Jesus is constantly working on our behalf every single solitary moment of the day in every aspect of life, whether it is secular or spiritual. He is always blessing us with what we need. He heals us when we're sick. He sends his angels to protect us from danger. He even stops the pestilence that walks in darkness and the destruction that wasteth at noonday, according to Psalm 91:6. But most that claim him Lord are unmoved by all of this. They just think it's normal life, or they think they're lucky when escaping certain death. He has literally opened the floodgates of his riches from heaven to us, and most just look at his torn body on the cross as fire insurance. And that's sick when you think about it, because that's the way people are. They only want to be a Christian because they don't want to burn. There's nothing about giving their love to him. They don't see the love. They only see a ticket to heaven, or so they think. By their ungratefulness, they close their hearts against the grace of God and walk through life giving Christ nothing more than lip service. Or worse yet, like the 10 lepers, they don't give him anything at all. So the bottom line is this. The soul that responds to the grace and the love of God shall be like a watered garden. Every blessing will be seen and understood, and life will become a joy even in the midst of trial, even if it's physical, spiritual, or mental trial, or financial trial, whatever. Nothing can sway us off the path when we decide to be his servants, because in so doing, we see his hand upon our lives in ways most find difficult to explain. Reason being is love like this is often unexplainable. I mean, even the angels can't comprehend this love of his. The only way I know to learn of it is to experience it firsthand. A few verses prior to the one we looked into for this question says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, and now in the presence of all his people. And that was Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. And with that, we end at lesson number 7. So let's jump over to lesson number 8. Let me put this on the server real quick. And this lesson, what was the last one? Yeah, the last one was about... What was it about? Well, yeah, I don't want to go all the way back up to that. You can be a new person. Yeah, that one. That was it. This one's called "You Can Be a Friend of God." All right. And so, question number one. I think yeah, we can get through this one. It's only we've got 5 minutes left. So, but So question number one of lesson number eight, which is titled, You Can Be a Friend of God. Right. Let me put this on the server in case anybody falls out. Okay. And the question is, how was Enoch's relationship with God with God described? And I did a sermon on Enoch years ago, and I just love this topic. Anyway, Genesis 5, verses 22 and 24, it says, And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And I'm actually going to read verse 23 too. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now here we see Enoch walked with God 300 years. He obviously started at the age of 65 because it says his entire lifespan was 365. Now, many have a hard time believing people could live hundreds of years, but if you do a little research, you will find that before the flood of Noah, when the atmosphere was twice as dense due to the pressure caused by the firmament that floated about 20 miles above it and squashed the atmosphere to where we had a double atmosphere, and they just proved this recently too by, not by fossils, they found an old hammer, and the hammer was forged just like any other hammer would be forged during the Iron Age, right? You put it into a blast furnace, and you take it out when it's red hot, and you just pound on it, right? Well, when they cut the hammer in half and looked at the cellular structure, or they got down in the microscope, they noticed that all the oxygen molecules were like footballs instead of round like they would be today. The reason the molecules are round today is because there's not that much pressure on the human body anymore. The oxygen molecules in our bodies are round, and this is why you start getting wrinkles at around the age of 30. Because as the body ages a little bit, the oxygen molecules can't get into the tiny little skinny capillaries near the surface of the skin sometimes, and it causes it to dry up to some extent, which causes a wrinkle. Because the wrinkle, I guess it collapses into the area where there's more blood flow, and then the skin can stay intact rather than just rotting and falling off because of lack of blood. So you're going to get a wrinkle. It's just like anything else. It's going to seek out nourishment. But back in the day, in Noah's day, oxygen molecules inside the human body were football shaped. So it took literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to get to, and literally you had to cut your head off, literally, in order to kill something. So when Cain killed Adam, when Cain killed Abel, it had to be one very extremely violent murder because, you know, wounds that we would consider mortal today would heal in about 14 hours. And they found this by accident by going down in a diving bell where a scientist cut his hand clean through to the muscle, and within 14 hours it healed up because the atmosphere was double inside that diving bell. Otherwise, the ocean would have crushed him. So, brothers and sisters, we can have the same relationship that Enoch had with the Lord. And we don't have to live on this sin-filled planet for 300 years while doing so. Some of us may be in that. And by the way, Enoch was the grandfather of Noah. So it was his society was just as bad as our society. So it wasn't like a cakewalk for him to do this for 300 years. I mean, some of us may be in that number that stands close to Christ during the plagues, and truth is, brethren, the Lord is molding our characters and faith right now so as to be part of that Gideon band. And here's the amazing thing most fail to realize. Enoch walked with God while he had no "it is written" as we have today. I mean, he had a knowledge of our Lord and embraced his love wholeheartedly. But and then was just discovered recently, too, that before the flood of Noah, you didn't really have to write anything down in a book because of the way the oxygen molecules were also inside the brain. The activity of the brain was a lot more crisp. And you could, if you did have a, if somebody handed you a book and you read it, it was memorized just from reading it one time. You would never forget what was in there. And so this is why it was the truth was handed down from one generation to the next just by sharing it. I mean, those of us that have been able to get our Lord into our hour on a daily basis, we are beginning to understand what that means, what Enoch was realizing. The Lord becomes our counselor in every aspect of life. Yes, sometimes when trials come up, we jump the gun and let our flesh guide us. But this is how we learn, too. So don't feel bad about yourself when you mess up like that. It actually helps you humble get humble too, because you realize how weak you are and how much you still need Christ. You know, and those of us that have our lives hid with Christ in God will ever be representing Him in everything we do each and every day if we continue on that path. Eventually our walks will be as such that the Lord will place us in that number, the 144,000. And as a Seventh-day Remnant people, we strive onto that perfection that will see us translated without seeing death. And by the way, Enoch did not choose to plant his home inside sinful areas like Lot did. Many Christians today think it's okay to hang out with non-believers. They think in so doing they can change them by sharing Christ with them. But Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, not once in the history of mankind has a lost soul ever become a Christian by hanging out with a Christian day in and day out. It's always the exact opposite. When the Christian ignores God's will, as Amos and many other patriarchs have warned in the Word, they don't have God's protection upon them. Why? Well, obedience to the Lord guarantees His promises upon us. Enoch did not locate his home in Sodom thinking to have Sodom, you know, to save Sodom. He placed himself and his family where the atmosphere would be as pure as possible. This is what my wife and I tried to do many years ago when we left the city and moved to a farm. We wanted our children to have a better chance at life the way the Lord planned and not how their friends and acquaintances planned. Because that's literally what happens. Their life is structured around their friends and their careers, and careers are nothing more than prideful advertisements of the of their achievements in life. It's just like parking a gold-trimmed Cadillac in your driveway. You know, it's just declaring to people. So yes, Enoch would have to go into a town now and again, just as we have to, you know, living on a farm. And yes, it can be spiritually painful when doing so. But the Lord understands we need to do so at times, and His hedge of angels are about us as we venture in, because He knows we are obedient and do not reside in such places or hang out with such people that do not love Him as we do. And so we will have Him with us no matter where we go. Now, when we go into these cities, we don't step into a bar, because that's when the angels back off. So we know by beholding we will become changed. So we choose to only have friends that love the Lord in His truth as we do. After all, Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.